Now we come to chapter 3. And when we come to chapter 3, we find that this man adopts a certain philosophy of life. And it's known as fatalism. This was common among the Greeks later on. It's been common among pagans. Buddhism is a fatalistic system. Platonism was. And we find that today that there's certain cults, I won't call them by name, that actually it's fatalism. You gather sometimes the impression that they have a glorious faith in God, but it's fatalism, actually, and not really faith in God. And we find now in chapter 3 that we have here this system, seeking satisfaction in fatalism. Now, if you want to see fatalism at work today, and I've seen this now several times, Friday afternoon, I now bring many conferences to a conclusion on Thursday night rather than go through Friday night, since it's become what actually Saturday night used to be in my day as a boy. And I get on a plane in some city, and I find myself on a plane that's almost totally 100% male. Who are they? Well, they are married men, for the most part, that are salesmen, or they are representatives of certain companies in certain place. Their families live here in Southern California. And every Friday, they get on a plane to come home. You look at those men there, most of them are tired. They show the effect of a week's work upon their faces. Many of them that are carrying briefcases will open them up and begin to probably work out a final report to hand in at the office when they get in, if they get in time, or they'll probably put it in the mail when they get home, and it'll be there for the president of the company to see on Monday. And there is, in that group, they take their drinks, they have their cocktails, they begin to laugh. It's the liquor that's laughing, of course. And you sense this, and every now and then, if I sit by one of them and there's an exchange of conversation, of viewpoints, I find out that they all have a fatalistic viewpoint of life. I came home on a plane that we went through some very rough weather, and the man next to me looked like he was not frightened at all. And I said to him, I said, "You didn't seem to be frightened when we went through that bad weather." "No," he says, "no use being frightened." He says, "What's going to be will be. You can't change it. And if it's time for your number to come up, it'll come up. So there's nothing you can do about it." And there he sat, gritted his teeth with a philosophy of life today that's very popular. It's called many things, but the name of it is fatalism. A fatalistic viewpoint of life. A great many people face life like that. They get bruised and hurt. They get in a bad spot, and they turn it off. And they turn life off by saying, "Well, this just is something that was coming. My number came up." Well, that's not the solution at all to the problems of life. Now, we're going to see that this man adopted that type of viewpoint, and it didn't work for Solomon. And by the way, it won't work for you either. Now, friends, we're seeing that Solomon is making here another experiment in life. He's trying everything. He's pulled out all the stops and trying everything that is under the sun. That is, that's man-made, that men attempt to do to see if they won't bring satisfaction in life. Now, fatalism is a viewpoint of life. It is a viewpoint that grits your teeth, and it's not a very helpful or comforting viewpoint, but it does enable man to face life and recognize that it's rugged, it's hard, and they say, well, if you're going to get on an airplane and it goes down, well, that's the way it was to be. You couldn't keep from it, so why not get on board and grit your teeth and go on? And that's the way that this sort of thing works in the lives of these men. And let me read now some verses here that reveal this attitude, that you're to just take whatever comes now. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Now, that is the viewpoint as it is expressed. Great many say, take life as it comes. There is a time to get and a time to lose. So you put up so much money and played the stock market and you lost. Well, that's the way it was to be. There's a time to win, a time to lose. And you were a traveling man away from home, and this woman, she was easy to get, and you invited her up to your room. Well, after all, there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Something came along, I see nothing wrong in that. That's the philosophy of life today. It's fatalism. It's looking at life like that. It's the philosophy of Buddhism. It is the philosophy, actually, of Platonism. And it is the philosophy of several of the cults today, which I won't name, but that's their philosophy. That is expressed in these words here. Now, let's move on here. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? What's the use? Why fight it? If you can't fight City Hall, then join them. You hear these cliches bandied about among men, especially godless men in the business world. This is the way they operate. Many of them make money on this basis. None of them are happy men. They're filled with joy. They're difficult, I think, to live with. I imagine their wives have a real problem. And they're never rejoicing. They have the cocktail of evening. They become sociable for about 2 or 3 hours. After that, it's better to stay clear of them. That is the mood of America today, fatalism. That is the way that many people face life. That's the way they look at it. Now, verse 10, I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of man to be exercised in. And I look about me, this man says, and I see people in trouble everywhere. And so if I've escaped a little of it, I just consider myself lucky, that's all. Now, he goes on, verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, God has let man put the world in his heart, that he might see that there's still room for something else, and that the world can never fill his heart here. And a great many men start out, that's the philosophy. I'm going to get all that I can. Life is an orange, and I'm going to squeeze it for all it's worth. And I'll get all that I can. Now, Solomon got the big half of it. He said it didn't satisfy him at all. Now, let's move on. I know that there's no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Oh, and there's another group in this crowd, the do-gooders. And said to me on the plane, well, he says, I think a man ought to do the best he can, do good. He says, that's what I try to do. And I tell you, that fellow wasn't doing very much good, but that was his philosophy of life. Verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It's the gift of God. And this fellow said, well, I see nothing wrong in drinking. I see nothing wrong in this at all. And from his viewpoint, there was. And this is fatalism. This is the philosophy of men today. Now he says here in verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. And now they talk about God's will as primary, but you see, with this viewpoint, the man says, well, if I'm elected, I'll be elected. And I just work on that way of living. If it's not God's will for me to be saved, I won't be saved. You see, fatalism leaves no place for the mercy and the grace of God. And fatalism said God does not hear and answer prayer. You see, it's providence, it's grace, and it's mercy, and God's love that makes life exciting and brings joy into it and gives peace to the human heart. Now, we come to another philosophy here, and we call it egoism or egotism. It's excessive love of self, and it actually is the individual self-interest, and that is the summum bonum of life. And some of these people are really very good folk, by the way, but they recognize this. Now, will you notice what he says here? That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. Now, what he's saying here, all men are wicked. Actually, you can't trust anybody. That's what he's saying here. And this is a cynical view of the human race, but I have to confess that it is rather accurate viewpoint of the human race. It's true. I was speaking at a conference some time ago in which the director of it, he said, now we want to treat all of you folk that are here as Christian gentlemen and ladies. And you know, that's the last thing he should have said or done, because they're not going to act like it, and they didn't act like it at all. Oh my, how we do that. I had a friend, he's a Christian, he says, a great many people, he says, when they're doing business, that they trust the individual until the individual proves otherwise. And he says that their philosophy is that all men are gentlemen until they prove themselves otherwise. Well, he says, I treat them all as crooks until they prove themselves otherwise. And he was a very successful businessman. Now, that's a cynical viewpoint, but may I say it's reasonably accurate. God has already said all have sinned. Now, he goes on in this vein here. I said in mine heart, and this is verse 17, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Now, that's not very encouraging. Now, read verse 19 of chapter 3 here. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. And go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all return to dust again. Now, I'm sure that you recognize that there are several cults that build on this statement. But you must remember, this is the viewpoint of man under the sun. This is the viewpoint of the man who's living for himself, self-interest, and that the summum bonum of life is to live for yourself, to enjoy life. And that's the reason that men get involved in some good projects. A great many men, they get interested in athletics. Nothing wrong with that. And they give themselves to that. And then there are others that get interested in art. and others in literature, and others in music, and they give themselves to these different things. Now, you can see that this is certainly a very selfish viewpoint. This view does not accept, therefore, the optimist's conclusion. You see, evolution says that man was a beast, but that he now has become a man. Now, egoism, or egotism, or self-interest, says that man is a beast. And this viewpoint causes the individual, you see, to despise others. And it's the thing that produced the caste system in India and the class system in the rest of the world. It's the thing that has built ghettos. This is the thing that leads to vanity, that makes a man say, I'm better than that man. And he actually believes that he is. And that, after all, we are all going to one place, and we've all become dust. Now, we're speaking here of the body, and very frankly, here this is a very pessimistic viewpoint. You're just like an animal. When you die, you die. And that's it. And I heard a man say, he says, why, man's just like a dog. When you die, you just die. And that's all in the world that life is. Well, that's when a man's living for himself and himself alone. And he's adopted a very selfish, very narrow viewpoint, actually, of life. Or he can stretch that out and become interested in the arts, become interested in these things today, give himself to these things, and totally ignore everything else and say, well, after all, why, we are just going to end as a beast, and that is something that, well, makes me want to live for myself right now. And may I say to you, it's that type of teaching, and it's in our schools today. Evolution is actually a form of it, although it says man was a beast, and this says man is a beast. It's just owing about your time periods, and that you're going to die like a beast. You have no soul or spirit at all, and that's the way that this viewpoint looks at life, and as a result, what happens? Well, you come out, friends, with a viewpoint that causes you to live for yourself, because after all, you're just like an animal, and you watch an animal. I watched a bunch of little kittens the other day, and believe me, do you think they had any regard for the other? Why, they played together. Well, when there was something to eat, they didn't mind pushing one little fella out, and the owner of the cats had to feed that little kitten. His brothers and sisters would have let him starve to death and perfectly willing to. Why? Egoism is their philosophy of life, too. And you see the same thing about little birds in the nest. I tell you, each little fellow is taking care of himself. That is a viewpoint. Man's an animal. And that's the reason today that man's beginning to react like an animal, because he's taught in school. Our schools are teaching that man's an animal. Well, then if you are a brother, then live like an animal. And that's this philosophy of life. Now, will you notice here verse 21? Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Now, what he's saying here is, actually, man's different from the beast. For the spirit of man goes upward, and the beast goes downward, because he's just an animal. Wherefore, I perceive that there's nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? In other words, this life is all. This is indeed a modern teaching. You can call it anything that you want to. It's the only thing that's worthwhile is for man to identify himself with his environment, his works down here, actually with the animal world, and to live like an animal. And, by the way, this is the ancient version of the hippie and yippie philosophy, and it came out of our schools, of course.